Well, I ain't nobody's problem but mine. Said I ain't nobody's problem but mine.
Hey guys, it's Cassie. I guess I would just like to say hello because this is the first podcast I'm actually doing. I'm not really sure. Long story short, I tried to do one of these a while ago and it was perfect and I royally fucked it because I went to go in and edit it and I just deleted it all and it was just the most heartbreaking thing that's probably ever happened. And that is a complete over-exaggeration. But I think that this podcast is going to be more about like the emotional roller coaster this experience has been so far and less so about my stories and experiences, which can come later, because God, do I have some fucking stupid ones. But anyways, so I guess we'll start from the beginning. I've always pictured myself as a fairly, like, street-savvy person, as in, like, I know how when I'm driving a car to make the deer not go through the windshield, or I can drive on a gravel road, or I can charm my way out of some sort of shit I got myself into at the bar with bouncers, and just little things. I just always kind of thought that I was like, you know what, like, book smart, I've done the education thing, but like, I'm far more like people smart than I am. And then you go into an international airport and you don't know shit. First experience there was just like the biggest disaster, and I pretty much screwed up everything that I could have and stood in every wrong line, and border patrol scare the hell out of me, and I have like, and bouncers here don't find me quite as charming, which they don't understand. Well, I mean, they do more so later in the trip, but at the beginning I felt like I was just like this fucking duck out of water completely. Or a bear out of the forest, or beaver out of the dam, in any Canadian retrospect that you want to correct. So yeah, it was a whole adventure getting over here, but then I ended up traveling for 3.5 weeks with my best friend, and that was unbelievable. We went all over the place. Something that was really weird was being in countries where you didn't speak the language, and all of a sudden someone would say something to you, and it was just like deer in the headlights. You're just like, who and what is talking to me? And I'm so sorry, because everyone over here speaks like 5 languages and I make them struggle with their like third language English because I can't speak anything else, so it makes you feel kind of ignorant. But that's like another point. So yeah, me and Dana, we traveled and just had so much fun and it was really cool, and then she left and all of a sudden I'm alone. And I didn't realize, because we were traveling together, like, being in the same bar with somebody, even if you don't talk to them, is, like, a security blanket. Or getting lost is being like, oh, whatever, we can just go to a pub. We might as well just find one on the way and we'll ask somebody if we find someone, or we'll make it there later. Whereas when you're alone, it's like, I had all these, like, elementary insecurities come out of me that I didn't even realize I really still had. Like, how do I make friends? Or what if I do get lost? And it was stuff like that, because my whole life I grew up in a small town, so I had friends of circumstance, and they are awesome people, and I have the best people everywhere, but it was like, I grew up with them, so we were friends, because we always knew each other. Or I went to university, and I played on the sports team, so I automatically had 12 best friends, and it was part of, like, a bigger picture, so, like, could walk into house parties and have people kind of understand who I am, or I could belong there, because I was an athlete. So it was just, like, really weird identity crisis to be, like, I don't even know how to talk to people anymore. Or, like, how do I make them like me? Because when you play a sport, it's all kind of about proving. Like, I was always respected because I was good at something. And then I was liked because if people decided to like me. Whereas something I'm realizing in the real world is you don't need to prove yourself so much to people. You shouldn't. People who are going to be your friends and are going to be good or not somebody that you need to prove yourself to. It's just a relationship, and that's a really warped, it still is a little bit of a warped mentality for me. So I go and I traveled for 3.5 weeks by myself, and it was hard and it was good, and it was just like one of the most beneficial things I've probably done since being over here, because as much as I still get awkward and I still struggle about like interacting with people, I find that I can like fake it better, and I have learned how to pick the people I like better. Like, I don't need to, like, there's a difference between being fake and having manners, and I think that I've kind of come to that. When I meet somebody and I don't particularly like them, I'm always polite, but I'm not over the top. Whereas when I like somebody and it just clicks, that's sweet, and we get along super well. So that was something that was really good that came out of that. But it's funny because I'm from the small town too, or the small community where like everyone's friendly, or you just like, it is like this manners thing where I feel like I walk into a grocery store and someone holds the door open for me, I say thank you. Whereas you come to London, people don't even look you in the eye. It's just like the most bizarre. So kind of like my first excursion to find a flight by myself, I was staying at this hostel, and I walked to the bus stop that I needed to get to the day before, because I had to leave at like 7 the next morning, and I was like, I'm not screwing this up, I'm going to go. So I go to this bus stop, and I go to give the bus driver my money to get on the bus, and he looks at me like I'm stupid and goes, we don't take that, it has to be an Oyster card or a bus ticket or something. And I was just like, looked at him and I was like, what? Because everywhere else in the fucking world, you can pay a goddamn bus driver. I mean, at least of the places I've been. And I know that I'm small town and I've been on very few public transits, but like, it was not a big deal. And I was like, well, where do I buy a ticket? He's like, the ticket office. I'm like, okay. Also, I don't have like service. I don't have a phone plan. Like, I'm really just kind of wandering around at this point. And he's like, it's over there. And I was like, okay. He goes, but it doesn't open for like an hour and a bit. So whatever. Kicks me off the bus and fucking drives away. And I'm like, it was, like, one of those, like, typical movie moments where you're like, well, fuck, could things get any worse? And, like, it's London, so, like, trigger the downpour, thunder, and rain that just come out of nowhere, and then it'll be sunny a half an hour later. So I'm, like, walking back to my hostel, kind of hyperventilating, like, I'm really fucked off, I'm really angry. So I get back into the hostel, and I just look at the guy at the front desk, I'm like, will you call me a cab, please? So he calls me a cab, he shows up, I get in the cab, throw my stuff in the back. And by the way, cabs are stupidly expensive, but in London. But so I get into the cab and I just like don't really want to talk about, he asked me how I'm doing. I don't want to talk about it. So I'm just like, how are you? Like, where did you come from? All this sort of stuff. And he's from the Middle East, and he is an architect. But over here, they don't really recognize his education. So he came over here and he brought his whole family, and he was like, there used to be so many opportunities, and I came here and just none of it really worked out, and I'm driving this cab, but I've been here 15 years. And he's kind of like pretty much just talking about how he thought this was like the land of opportunities, and it wasn't, and there's not really that many opportunities for anyone. And then he looks at me and he goes, but why would you come from Canada? Everyone's trying to go from Canada, which is something you'll hear a lot if you travel. And then he looks at me, and I'm, like, still really upset about this whole situation, because I am alone, and I'm lost, and I can't do anything right. And he pretty much says one thing, and it just triggers me, and I'm just sitting in the back of his cab, crying, and I'm just like, I don't know what I'm doing, and I'm not cut out for this city, and I'm so lost. And, like, something I've learned in my life is if you cry in front of a guy, he will pretty much say anything to make you stop crying. So he starts spouting all this bullshit about how there's so many opportunities for me here, right after he went about how there was none for anyone, and that I'll be fine. And he was just like super kind. And I get out of the cab at the airport and I pay the man, but I'm pretty much paying him for a therapy session more than a cab ride. And it was just like the most ridiculous. And then I get on a plane and I go to Ireland, and people in Ireland are so friendly. It was so lovely. I was like, this is what people are supposed to be like. And yeah, so that was just kind of like the beginning of like this being alone and trying to travel and this whole being lost thing. So I ended up, after that, I ended up in a small town south of London. And this was like, it was a very interesting town. It's something I probably will never go to again or be in the same sort of place. And it was, and it's because it's was this posh kind of rich area. So you had the service class and you had people who used the services, but you didn't have a middle class because there was nothing really there for them. And you didn't have a low class because they couldn't afford to live. And you would go 20 minutes down the road and there'd be another town, and that would be like more of like a full-rounded city where you have every class, and it was like something that was like looked down. It was really interesting. But so I was working in this pub there, and it was kind of just like you had, it was really blokey. You had your guys, you had your football clubs. Thursday nights were ladies nights, and those were absurd because it was like this really Stepford wifey place where everyone comes and it's this space. And but I did end up meeting some really good people there. But something that I kind of had realized, too, is that when I was, before I had come over here, I'd spent, like, 8 months getting my shit together, as I would have said. I was, like, eating well, and I was working out, and I was drinking healthily, and all sort of things. Like, I hadn't blacked out in forever, which was, God forbid, in university, and I still black out far too often, pretty much every time I drink. And I was at this place where I felt like I was in control, and I wasn't chasing validation. I was just, like, doing stuff for me. And then I get to this job, which was an interesting place. I met great people. I met a lot of good friends there, but two of my like soulmate best friends were two guys that I worked with, and the customers that I made connections with were awesome. And like, it was like, I had a really good support system, despite the fact of feeling like I was kind of in it alone because I had come on this trip, and just, like, moved into this town and was, like, trying to fit in here. But I met a lot of good people. But I was working a lot of hours and didn't get a lot of freedom. And it kind of went back to, like, university and playing a sport where you have someone who, like, controls your timetable a lot. And you kind of start to, like, it sounds stupid, but you act out. So, like, I was going to this place where, like, I would get a day off and I would get too drunk, and I was like this thing of extremes where I couldn't do anything, or I was doing everything, and I like didn't have balance anymore. And I don't really like the terms, or like, you see all these posts about like letter to the girl I used to be and like how to be bright again and stuff, and I was like, I don't particularly like that, because I think that that's part of life. It's like you learn from your lows, and those things make you better when you get to, like, your good spots. I think that, like, chasing somebody that used to be, you can't be that person because your experiences made you who you are. And we have this, like, constant thing about being, like, when I was younger, I was, like, so full of life, or, like, I was carefree, or, and I was, like, as much as maybe being less carefree, it also means that maybe you got more of an edge, or you're smarter, you're wholer. Like, I was, like, kind of struggling with that myself, of being, like, why can't I just, like, go back to where I was? And I was like, those aren't the circumstances I'm in. And I don't think that, I think that places bring out different characteristics, just like people bring out different characteristics in you. So it's hard, because when you move to a new place, or you get a new social group, or anything like that, like, you're going to be a bit of a different person. And it doesn't mean you're worse or you're better. It just means that you're growing. And I think that's part of growing up. I think we have, like, these milestones of being a grown-up, of being like, oh, you went to university and you graduated, and now you're supposed to find a person that you're supposed to get married to, and then you're going to have kids, and then you're going to get a house, and there's all these checklists or these milestones. But I think what being a grown-up is, as much as I can tell right now, is being able to, like, understand the things you can control and, like, do your best at them and accept the things that you can't and be okay with that. And it's not easy, and right now I'm in a good headspace, so I can mentally, like, check that. But if you asked me 3 months ago, it was a fucking disaster. So I'm in this place, and something that I've never struggled with was having a social group. As I kind of said before, like, I just have always been placed really accurately in situations where, like, I've made friends, and it was easy. And so I'm working at this bar, and I don't get weekends off. Like, I didn't have the opportunity to really meet people. So I'm, like, meeting people who are customers, and I'm trying to become friends with them. And I've never really dealt with social rejection, and I kind of did there. And, like, the one thing that's different about having friends, that a social group that you have had for a while, is that when you fuck up, or you get too drunk and they take you home, or you do something stupid, it's kind of, they laugh at it, or it's part of it, or they accept your flaws. Whereas when it's a new group of people, or not the right type of people, they judge you on it. That's like something that you have done wrong or something that they can hold against you. And that was something I really struggled with, was feeling like I was being judged for something that I would never have judged somebody for. So yeah, as much as it was hard, it was this really different experience, because I was going through like this, feeling like I was losing control, and then also struggling for a social group. And this is stuff that I haven't particularly had to deal with before. So it was weird, but yeah, but the two of the guys, the ones who are my, like, really close with, have also, like, come from different places and were living there. And something that I've kind of realized, and the more you travel, like, hostels are wicked, because everyone you run into who's traveling is looking for the same thing or going through the same stuff. Like, I like to think a lot of the things I'm going through is, like, they're personal issues, they're me issues, but, like, they're kind of worldwide society issues. Like, the being lost or not knowing what I'm doing, or I've checked all these boxes and I'm not ready for this next box that I'm supposed to be doing, and I always kind of feel pressure that I'm going to somehow have to get there eventually, but it may not be what I want. And, like, I guess, like, the theme of what I'm trying to figure out right now is, what am I doing because I'm doing it for me, and what am I doing for other people? And, like, I went to this one hostel, and I met this guy, and he was in his 40s, and he had a wife, and he has a kid, or had a fiance and has a kid, and he kind of just, like, still supports them, but, like, just left them, and he is going back to university to become a creative writer, and he's doing well at it. But it's just, like, it's just that we're all kind of lost, and we're all kind of winging it, and you're not alone in that, which is kind of cool. And I think that that's, like, I don't know, that is very, like, reassuring. It's just being, like, we're all faking it just as much as one another. Some people do it better than others. Yeah, so ended up doing that. And even, like, the last 2 weeks of that place, I got, like, a little more perspective of, like, of chasing things and that weren't important to me. But I'm still trying to redefine or find how to become a person who does stuff because I want to do it. Like, I even, like, when I have lack of control, like I say, over drink, or I go out for validation. Like, I have such high standards in the person that I would date, but really low standards in the attention that I get when I go to a bar, and just, like, something that makes me feel good, but it makes me feel worse later. And I think that that's something that a lot of people do, is it's just, like, and use alcohol a bit of as an excuse of being, like, oh, I was drunk, or I can push this a little farther, or it's funny because I'm have this, like, lack of social consciousness. And then you wake up in the morning and you're like, did I really dance on the table, or did I really do that, or did I really do this? And, like, it's something you can laugh about later, but it takes, like, this, like, weird shame over, or your Sunday where you mourn your life, to get over stuff like that. And it's just, like, less of a balance. And I don't know, post-party depression is just, like, it's a real issue, and that sounds so fucking millennial of me, but I think that because we don't talk about stuff as much as we should talk about things, we act them out when we're drunk, and that comes, like, that's something that you have to deal with later. Like, and the theory of this drunk person, and it goes kind of back to Freud's theories of, like, the id, the ego, and the superego, and pretty much when a drunk person, so your id is, like, your primary wants and needs, your ego is your means of getting that, and then your superego is your, like, social, societal norms of doing that. So it's kind of, like, that's, like, the most simple version of how I'm going to say it, but so a drunk person goes for what they want, and, or that you have these primal wants, so it's like, oh, I'm going to do this. And then you have your ego that's like, oh, should you be doing that? And how should you be doing that? And then you have your superego that, like, it all kind of fits into each other. Whereas I think that you lose your ego when you drink. So you just have these primary wants, and then you have the outcome, and then you wake up and you get this ego back, and you're like, what the fuck? I didn't do that. Like, maybe I got what I wanted, but I did not do that any socially acceptable way. So that's, like, a very short sum up. So now that I'm here and I'm in Scotland and I just moved here and it's the most wonderful city ever, but I'm kind of re-going through this life thing of being like, what do I want, and where do I want to go, and what type of person do I want to be here? Did I learn lessons in the last place that I should have learned, that I should take over here? And there's a lot of things in the moment I'm like, oh, I'll never do that again, I'll never do that again. And, like, actually, this is the one black and white thing that I have learned when I was in Ragate. So I had Mondays and Tuesdays off, so I would go out and drink at pubs more or less by myself and kind of make friends with all the other bar staff. And I met this one guy, and I got drunk at the end of the night. I shook all of their hands and said goodbye, and I went up to this guy, and he had this gnarly, twirly mustache. And I shook his hand and I went to say goodbye, and then I just fucking reached up and twisted both ends of his mustache. As I'm doing that, I, like, feel his hands grab my boobs, and I was just, like, pulled my hands back and was like, that is not the same thing. And he looks at me and goes, my face is very personal to me. It is the same thing. And I looked at him and I said, I will never in my life touch a man's facial hair ever again without permission or offering or asking. And so I guess that's one thing he'll take with me here, is I'm not going to touch any man's facial hair. But anyways, I guess that this was just more of an episode for me to talk about stuff that I've been feeling about this trip. I don't know if you guys can connect to it. I hope that you can, and I hope that it wasn't a complete waste of your time, and I'll have more stupid stories and more things about life to come soon. But I guess I hope you're all well, and I miss you, and I miss Canada, and I'm happy, and this is this roller coaster, but I think we're all gonna make it. We're doing our best to pretend we're grown-ups, and we're faking it pretty well, if you ask me. So keep your heads up and your heart strong. Thanks, guys.